Welcome, welcome, welcome. If you haven't signed in, please come down and get a card. We have a quorum, so we may begin. We can begin, may begin, one of those. We can and may, might be both.
Or can or those.
Oh, here's the record. I'm going to put that there. Nice to see everyone. Thank you for being here. We have a lot to get through, and you'll notice the absence of our dear friend Dave, who's feeling a little under the weather. I do have my trusty Robert's Rules here. I think I can do this. I think I'm up to speed. I want to make him proud, so I'm going to talk nice and slow, and we'll report back. Hopefully won't screw things up too much. We're going to start, as always, with the approval of the agenda. I have a few things to add, but I'll open it up to the body first. We always approve our agenda because while the executive sets the agenda, it's really just a suggestion, and this body is the body that decides what it wants to discuss on any given meeting. So are there any additions or amendments to the agenda?
I have an addition, Karen Sullivan, European Languages and Literatures. I would like to amend the resolution on restrictions on time, place, and manner, which are at the back of the end of the minutes. And I would like to introduce a new resolution on time, place, and manner.
Thank you, Karen. Just as a point of information for the body, you'll see under new business, we have demonstration guidelines to discuss. In your email, you would have received a motion that was going to be put forward by Dave Fields regarding this. Since that time, sorry, let me also say, just to go nice and slow here, the executive committee, which meets 2 weeks prior to this meeting, agreed on a similar motion and forwarded it to the president. Since that time, the president has, as you've seen, the administration, I should say, has revised those guidelines. There's a 2.0 version. And so Dave is going to withdraw this motion because it's not really relevant to the older document doesn't exist in the same way. So we were not going to have that. Karen, what I take it that you're saying is that so when we get down here, I'll tell you once again, we're not doing this new business, but you want to add new business to consider another version of this motion.
Yes. Can I ask for unanimous consent to add the new business?
Thank you, Karen. Is there any objection to considering a motion regarding the revised guidance on time, manner, and place? Okay, seeing none, we'll put that under, David, tell me if it's item A or B. We'll put it under B, under new business. Although it's effectively A. Any other additions to the agenda? Okay, I would like to ask us to consider a motion regarding the college website as new business C. This was also distributed to you via email, and I'll take the liberty of asking for unanimous consent. Are there any objections to considering that motion under new business? Okay, we'll take that accepted. So we amend the agenda, add C, college website. Any other?
Eric Silverberg from the library, and I'm considering the library website and the website.
Okay, so we'll take it that you're asking for unanimous consent. Eric would like us to consider a motion regarding the college library's website, and we would place that, I think we're up 7D now. Any objections to considering that motion? Okay, we'll consider it added. Was anyone else wanting to speak today? Forever hold your peace, etc. Okay, so we've amended the agenda. Motion to approve it as amended. Any objections? Okay, the agenda is approved. Let's get started. Number two is the approval of our Academic Senate meeting minutes of December 12, 2024. Any corrections? Objections? Seeing none, we'll consider those approved. Thank you. And then we have, announcements, administrative reports, and memorials. I know some of you have announcements. I have a few announcements to make as well, but let's start with our guest speaker. We've invited Patricia Price, Provost and Senior VP for Academic Affairs, Rebecca Chow, and Christopher Knusa to give us an update on Middle States, is what it's called. And she's agreed to answer some questions that we might have afterwards. So I'm going to turn it over to them.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it. Hi, everybody. I hope your spring semester is off to a good start. I want to start by introducing you to somebody you may have already met. She started her work here at Queens College in the summer, but some of you may have not had the pleasure of meeting Rebecca Chow, who is our new Associate Provost for Institutional Effectiveness. The work is about as sexy as it sounds, but it's really important for our institution so that we ensure that we're assessing the work that we're doing and complying with all sorts of best practices and expectations of us as an institution of higher ed. And so I'd like to introduce you to Rebecca and ask her to start the presentation updating everybody on our Middle States reaffirmation of accreditation.
Thank you, Patricia. Thank you all for allowing us to be here today and to talk to you about Middle States. As Patricia said, it's not particularly exciting, but it is a necessary part of what we do. So some of you know that the accreditation cycle, it is cyclical, and it happens, used to happen every 10 years that we would be reaccredited. Now it is every 8 years. So we are going to talk a little bit about where we are in the process, but I want to start and give you a little bit more context about why we go through accreditation. So accreditation is essentially a gold stamp or a seal of approval to external and internal stakeholders about how we are advancing our mission. And the reaccreditation process is essentially about demonstrating through evidence and data-informed processes that we do meet those standards of excellence that our accrediting body uses to guide our practice. You know, the self-study process, it is necessary, it's required, but it's also a really great opportunity to tell the story about what we're doing here, to highlight all the good work, and to focus on kind of telling, highlighting how we advance the mission and celebrating that through the self-study process. So right now we're in the middle kind of this lengthy process. We are beginning our work to write the actual self-study. The self-study itself is about a 100-page document, and it's comprised of chapters focusing on each of the 7 standards of excellence. So our working groups, there's one for each standard, so 7 working groups. Each of them are now in the process of reviewing evidence and using that evidence to inform the narrative, telling that story of how we advance our mission and how we meet those 7 standards of excellence. As you can see from the calendar, we do have a couple more steps to get through. So this summer, the Executive Steering Committee, that's the 3 of us, will be working to harmonize those chapters and kind of put them into a coherent flow of one voice. We will then present that work to all of you, to internal and external stakeholders in the fall, and ask for your input and your feedback. And then in the fall, usually in October, the team chair from the peer evaluation team will come. Just the team chair will come in the fall for a day's visit, and they'll want to review a draft of our self-study. That is followed by the spring 2026 team visit, which will usually take place in March or April. More to come on that. And I think I'm going to hand it over to Chris, my wonderful colleague, to talk about the submission of evidence and how that process has gone.
Hey, everybody. I'm Chris Anusa. I'm in the math department, and I'm also the faculty liaison for evaluation and assessment, and helping out with the Middle States process, progress, everything. Okay, so if you may have seen this form, and if you haven't, this is how everybody at our college has been inputting information into one big folder in the sky of documents. So we're supposed to be collecting information from all places on campus. Middle States this time around has given us a very, very, very long list of all the things that we needed to collect. And we needed to collect that information from every person and every unit and every place on campus that had anything related to that concept. And so I'm going to spend a tiny bit of time telling you about how this all came together, which was a very interesting process supported by our IT collaborators. And Robin's here in the audience, helped also to kickstart this and get us started. So we've got this form, and all of the we took that long list of evidence, worked with all of the vice presidents on campus to figure out which evidence goes into which bucket, who would be able to speak to each of those pieces of evidence, and we sent a letter out to each of those groups of people saying, here's some evidence that we'd like to collect from you. That then turned into a form. You could choose your type of evidence, submit one or more documents in here, and then that then gets populated into one big database. So instead of in the past when you had boxes and boxes of documents, here we have one big folder in the sky that is organized with bunches of tabs that explain who submitted the evidence, what type of evidence was being submitted, and it then gets routed to for the working groups. The working groups need to see a different interface. The people who are submitting evidence know what type of evidence they're submitting, but the working groups need to see a folder that says, here are all the pieces of evidence that came that are maybe organizational charts or rosters of committees, all of these pieces of evidence that are related to our process. And so I'm guessing a number of you have already helped by submitting evidence through here, and I really, really appreciate that. As of 2010, there were 2,300. Are we up to 2,600? I don't know. It keeps increasing, and we really appreciate all the work that everybody has done to help us with this process. And where this information is now going to the working groups, and they can use that to write their chapters. All right, and so hand it back to Patricia.
Almost done. I do want to recognize the several members of working groups. We have a total of about 80 people at the Queens College community involved, either as working group members, working group co-chairs, or folks on the operations excellence team helping us out with troubleshooting, like Robin and other folks. So thank you all. This really is a community effort. It involves a gigantic lift, but as the saying goes, many hands make light work. And so I thank you all for contributing and participating and really leveraging this opportunity for more than a box-checking exercise. We do have to go through accreditation if we wish to receive federal financial aid and if our students are able to transfer credits from our institution, so it's important that we are accredited. But it's also a great opportunity to come together as a community and focus on some of the really cool things that are going on at Queens College in these spaces and amplify those. So thank you. We are thinking about opportunities for community engagement and input. So in fall 2025, we'll be gathering your feedback on the draft self-study report. President Wu will hold a town hall inviting comments and to raise awareness among the community that is not sitting in venues like this about what's going on. We also, and I want to direct this particularly to students who are in attendance today, we are absolutely thinking about how to engage our students in this process. Really, at the end of the day, accreditation, particularly as Middle States understands it, really focuses on students, student learning, the student experience, student success. And so it's imperative that our students be aware and involved as this gets close to the site visit. So we're working with several folks around campus, particularly student affairs, to identify some students who wish to serve as ambassadors, escorting visitors when they're on campus, and creating a video about Middle States and what it means for students. We are also, the three of us, putting in a proposal to present a session at the upcoming Middle States Conference. They're a body that has a conference every year, just like a lot of your academic bodies do. And one of the things I've noticed when I've gone to Middle States conferences is you get a lot of presentations from institutions that have a lot more resources than we do. They have whole offices of assessment. We don't. We have a lot of goodwill and a lot of people who are very talented in this area. But we have done an incredible job thus far on very scant resources. And I think it's important for other institutions that are accredited by Middle States to know that there's a whole range of things that you can do that are low cost or no cost that can really, I think, broaden the understanding of what it means to be an accredited institution and how you go about that. For instance, the submission system that Chris was showing you, they came up with that. Chris and IT came up with that system. That is a really cool system. Those of you who have used it know it's really user-friendly. And this is something that we're sharing at the CUNY IT conference with our colleagues around the system. Again, it's not glamorous work, and you have to be kind of geeky to get into stuff like this, but it's really innovative. And I think institutions like Queen's College, unfortunately, because we are so strapped for resources, really have to look to our talent, and we have a lot of that around the table. Last slide, I'll just encourage you to keep up to date with the goings on with the Middle States process. You receive college mailers, and one of those mailers is the Middle States Newsbreak, which gives you three short points on a monthly basis about what's going on. You can read more in depth if you want to. And there's also information on my website under initiatives. Click on Middle States, and you can find out more than you probably wanted to know about accreditation. And with that, I'll open the floor to questions. Would you go up to the mic so that everybody can hear your question? Thank you.
You know, very kind of stupid, basic question.
The deadline really was February 1st. That's when our working groups came back together. However, what you're pointing out is that this is not a snapshot in time, and our accreditors will visit just about a year from now. And so if you're doing things that you feel are worth having included in our evidence inventory or in our self-study report or both, by all means, submit those and also alert us. Just send us a quick email or a Teams message and let us know, hey, I submitted this evidence on something cool that has just now come to fruition. So it didn't make the deadline, but we want you to be aware of it. Thank you.
Maybe. So, as we get closer, as people do more of the assessment in their units, in the departments, and in units across campus, that will be something that we will want more information from you about. So as we're building that capacity on campus and as people make progress towards best practices and assessment, the more information we have, the more data and evidence about that we have, the better.
Great, thank you.
Barbara Ball, English Department.
Hi, Barbara.
First, thank you especially to the unpaid work of my colleagues, like the colleague in math and other colleagues, and to be proud that we're doing this on small resources. I think it's a bit misplaced. I think we should really be compensating those who are doing so much, so I appreciate it. But I came to ask something that's not directly about real estate, although I think it has a bearing on it. Can I do that now? Is that out of order?
Yeah. I'm happy to listen to whatever you have to say.
Okay. My question is about the protection of students and staff here from federal agents, specifically ICE. We have one of the more open CUNY campuses. I have not seen a statement from President Ludwig in this one about non-cooperation with ICE, and I haven't seen anything where buildings where the administration has taken the opportunity to designate any buildings as community spaces. As you probably know, ICE has very different rules if a space is designated as private or for the Queens College community only, even if the door is not locked, than if it's seen as a public space where they can just pick up somebody without a warrant. So I'm very concerned. I also haven't heard anything about a protocol if an ICE agent comes to the security gates or does not go into security. I mean, they are, as I have heard directly from them, trained to lock. And so I haven't heard anything about a protocol if somebody from a federal agent potentially interested in detaining and deporting a member of our community shows up. I haven't heard anything about whether protocols will be followed, how that person will get off campus, and how it will be certain that there is a judicial and not administrative warrant, and how the administration has taken the opportunity to designate some spaces as private.
Barbara, thank you. Your concerns are noted. As you've seen, President Wu is not here. He is, I believe he's in Albany. Where's Jay? Is he in Albany right now? Yep, thank you. So he's lobbying on our behalf. This is lobby season, and so he's taking 5 trips up to Albany. God bless him. And he's also been at the American Council on Education annual meeting, and so he sends his regrets. And I don't feel fully enabled to speak to the level of detail that you're raising. I know that it has been a conversation among the presidents and certainly here in the administration at Queens College. And this is a fast evolving landscape. And so it's tough for me to speak on his behalf and to speak to some of the things that are happening every day that I deign to hear a snippet of the news. It's just so depressing. The concerns that you're raising are definitely on everybody's minds. We're a part of a system, and one of the things that we have to do is make sure that we're coordinated with our chancellery and the other institutions, but we are all concerned about this.
Appreciate that, but I don't think we're in a position, especially people in management, are not in a position not to deign to read what's happening. And there have been raids on other campuses while we sit here and hear that you're considering it. I'm glad it's been considered, but that's not enough. It's happening, people are already being deported and sent to Guantanamo.
Thank you.
I hope that that's not what we want for anybody on staff, even somebody who's working temporarily here, which has happened to construction workers on other campuses, not CUNY, also other states. So it's not an issue where we can afford, or where management can afford, not to take action. There has to be action. Somebody could be showing up right now. So I appreciate it. I know very well the path to Albany, and I know it has to be done there, but we have to do more things than that, and I would urge you to urge President Wu to put out a statement and a protocol so there is a clear path so we can be protected and not to take any more time over.
Thank you. I can assure you that he's working on it. Thank you. Professor Tavares, thank you very much. You're raising important, I think, probably one of the central questions for us as an institution. We are facing an enrollment crisis. If you look at the data since fall of 2020, we have lost 19% of our student enrollments. I just looked at it today. We have, for the spring semester, 15,300 students enrolled. That's from a high of closer to 18,000 going into the pandemic. So it is extremely concerning. I will say that it does closely track the demographic decline, just the decline in high school graduates in this region. It tracks it, but that's not an excuse. Maybe it's by way of explanation. So I can speak to some of the work that I'm doing in my office. Student affairs and enrollment management routes through Vice President Jennifer Jarvis, and she reports to the president. So we coordinate with one another, but I don't oversee her work, and so it would be wrong for me to speak on her behalf. So I think we can look at a couple of areas that we really need to, that are in our control. I mean, the demographic decline of the region is not in our control, but I think we need to pay more attention to student services, and particularly the way that we communicate with our students. We need to focus on enrollment per se, not just enrollment as a broad category, but recruitment and retention. Right now in my office, I'm working very diligently with my team, particularly on transfer. Transfer students used to constitute about 60% of our enrollments at Queens College. Transfer students now constitute about half of that, 30%. Why is that happening? Some community college students are not going on to further education. They're going into the workforce. But I am not at all convinced that we're not also losing some students because we're not addressing some of their concerns and needs. Back to the communication piece, we need to do a better job communicating with our potential transfers. We also need to work on aligning our curriculum in a way that there is not the massive credit loss that we're now seeing when students transfer from our feeder schools, our big feeder schools, our Queensboro and LaGuardia Community College. Right now, Queens College accepts the lowest percentage of credits as transfers into the major of all of the CUNY colleges, not just senior colleges, but all of them. We are the lowest. We also have some self-inflicted wounds. We have a very high residency requirement. Only Queens College requires students to spend 45 credits in residency here. All of the other colleges are at 30, with the exception of York, which is at 40. We are an excellent place to get a liberal arts and sciences education, but we're also very demanding in terms of some of the hurdles that we place in front of our students. And so we have been funded by the Heckscher Family Foundation for Children, and we've been accepted into the Aspen ASCU. Those are two major higher ed institutions nationally. We've been accepted as one of 10 cohorts nationally, along with Queensboro and LaGuardia, to work on improving our transfer relationship this year. And so that's some of the work that my office is doing to address this problem. If there were an easy solution, we would have identified it and engaged it long ago. There are many different pieces of this equation. Some, again, have to do with student services. Some of them have to do with enrollment, and some of them have to do with the shape and scope of our academic enterprise. And one of the things that we need to ask ourselves is whether what we're offering to students is appealing to them. This is a question primarily for the faculty. Faculty and the shared governance model really do have primary oversight over the curriculum, but my office is engaged, and Rebecca's been really central here, with the chairs particularly, in developing data for chairs to look at with respect to how their degrees are performing and whether students are being served or not by those degrees. And so these are a series of hard conversations that we need to have as an institution. But thank you for your question. I appreciate it.
Hi, I'm Sarah Kasimov speaking from Wall State. I wanted to ask a question that follows up on your last point about the shape of the education. So, but I want to look back to the spring welcome message that you sent from Jeremy Bonita. It had a ton of information in it. But in the bottom, when you were talking about enrollment and finances, you mentioned at the very end that once we complete these projects will proceed to review in earnest the distribution and scope of our academic offerings in alignment with the elected faculty leadership and our assessing governance structure to ensure we're meeting the needs of current students and managing liquidity. Is your suggestion then that of cutting programs that we're going to start rethinking the kind of education that we're offering? And do you have,
I don't have a suggestion yet, and one of the things that I've realized through working with the budget committee, and I have a meeting on the books in early March with Chair Ferguson as well, one of the things that I've realized is that there also needs to be a vision set for academics at Queen's College, and I don't think we've done that for a long time, if ever. And so that needs to drive how we proceed with this work, and that will be done at the leadership of the faculty. So thank you for your question.
With
faculty leadership, under the shared governance model, faculty are on first with the curriculum. It doesn't mean that the faculty own the curriculum. The Board of Trustees owns our curriculum, and they have not been shy about stepping in when they don't agree with something. But we do need to engage our shared governance model in this space. I'm a geographer. I can talk to you all day long about geography. But I'm not a philosopher. You have the primary expertise in this area, and so it's imperative that the faculty lead this.
Is this going to be related to the strategic planning that happened a couple years ago and the assessment?
It's all related. It should ideally all be related, this cycle of planning, setting goals, aligning with the strategic plan, assessing, and rinsing and repeating that. Again, this is the unglamorous work of places like the provost's office, but it's really important because it aligns all of these different efforts and it provides data to say whether we're succeeding or not on the goals that we set ourselves. So yes, we have a strategic plan. That plan sunsets in the middle of 2026, and we will need to engage a new strategic plan. Any further questions? I thank you all for your time and your feedback. I really do appreciate your partnership. Thank you. Have a great semester.
Thank you, Patricia, Chris, and Rebecca.
I think that's a button.
We're still on announcements, administrative reports, and memorials. Does anyone have any other announcements or administrative reports or memorials? I have a few, but I'll let you guys go first. Take your time. Be careful. It's my esteemed predecessor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Simone. You got that right. Excellent. Other announcements, memorials? Okay, I have a few things. First is, one thing that's under the purview of the Senate is to periodically review deans. We are responsible for constituting dean search committees, and we also are responsible for constituting committees to review the deans. There's not prescribed, it's not like it has to happen every X, Y, and Z, so that's why we don't talk about it too frequently. But what we need to do is to select a review committee for the Dean of Social Sciences. I would urge anyone in social sciences to apply to be on this review committee online, if that is a thing, tomorrow. The link is complicated. I don't remember it off the top of my head, but it should be at the top of our Academic Senate page. And you can fill out an application, and I expect at our next meeting that the nominating committee will have a report having selected a review committee. This work has to happen, I think it says in our bylaws, in within like 2 months or something, so it shouldn't be an onerous long process, and we can give some examples and models. This would be a report that is a review of the Dean Chunkina that's given to the president, and it would be in confidence. So anyone in the social sciences, please, and please tell your, if you're in the social sciences, please tell your colleagues and your pass this on to your chairs as well. Next announcement is it's election time for the University Faculty Senate. We got an extra slot this year. We have, I'm told, 11 seats and two alternates. The University Faculty Senate determines its delegates from the different campuses based on number of full-time and adjunct faculty, things like that. So the number changes. We have 9 people serving on the UFS. Thanks. Robin, I think you're on it. Simone, I'm missing Simone. Yay, thank you guys. So that means, if my math is correct, we have 2 additional slots and 2 alternate slots. And you can reach out to Kat and I about that. And I'll bring this up next meeting, too, as well. It's important for us to be there, especially with everything going on. And I don't have the meeting dates, but they're pretty set. You guys probably know them. Okay, next is an announcement, just informational, about a CUNY-wide working group, class this time. CUNY wants to establish a working group that will develop recommendations for university-wide guidance on tenure and promotion. And this is coming out of the Coach Task Force report. And there's a bunch of really important people listed here. I won't read their names. I will let you know that our very own Stephen Grover, is going to be the representative from Queens College. So he's going to be working with the committee, CUNY-wide committee, this semester on developing recommendations for tenure and promotion. Personally, I think he would be perfect person for that, having been on the Committee of Seven, Department Chair, et cetera, et cetera. But if you have any thoughts on tenure and promotion, he might be the person to pick his year so he could share those things. And I hope he's okay with me saying that out loud. Last, I wrote down JSTOR, but I don't think Annie's here. Do you want to?
So we're from the library. So special collection and archives of the library has digitized, but they have created a home for them that is now fully searchable of the past academic senate minutes. And you can look these up by going to the special collections and archives page on the library website, only several on campus, and search in their digital collections for the Senate, and we'll be able to a full keyword search through how many years?
2024 minus 71 is...
The past 71 years of academic Senate meeting minutes, and Annie, unfortunately, felt sick today, so perhaps at the next meeting she can come give a demonstration.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Eric, for that. And I had intended to invite Annie to give a demonstration, but then we got a little bit busy with other things. So hopefully we can see her next month. I want to thank, first off, I want to say librarians are some of the coolest fucking people on this campus. You know what I'm saying? It took me a while to get this. I don't think when I was an undergrad I really understood it, and now I'm like, I'm going to hang out with the librarians. It's just super interesting. Thank you so much for your work. Our archive on the website of our minutes was like really hard. I mean, it was just not searchable. You had to know exactly when it was, and the meeting, the minutes are a month late. And so having a searchable archive is something we've been wanting for such a long time. I want to thank Simone and Dave Fields for doing all the scanning, for digging out the old documents, putting all that together. That was a couple of years of Herculean labor. To have them archived at JSTOR is also, and librarians can say this more eloquently than me, but having that preservation. I know JSTOR is not going to take that stuff away, and the site's going to be there so we can find out when did we last vote on Chem 107 or what was that. Anyways, thank you. Thanks. Shout out to the library. Okay, any other announcements? Yes, please.
Can I propose at this point, this is not an ethical person, so I just, can I propose to amend the agenda at this point, or is it too late?
Propose to amend the agenda? Why don't you make your proposal and ask for unanimous consent and see what happens?
I propose to ask Tori Condo to give us an update on the website, because he's female, and I'd like to ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objection to that? Please, there's an objection, okay. So we will have a vote on this, but looking over these cards, which we use, first I'll ask, is anyone not signed in? Okay, please come down. The wonky bits of Robert's rules is, as I was explaining, this body decides what it wants to discuss. We do that by approving an agenda at the beginning of the meeting. That requires a simple majority, as with most business. When we get into like special kind of business, it requires a two-thirds majority. We have 60 senators, so two-thirds plus one would be 41 folks would need to want to amend the agenda at this point. And we only have 39 senators here. So let's do the vote to see, but I can tell you it probably won't pass. I'm sorry, Marissa. So all in favor of amending the agenda at this point, please raise your hands. I'm going to do what Dave does. All opposed, please. You get two? And abstentions, please. No abstentions. Okay, so the motion to amend the agenda fails. There will be a discussion of the college website later, and I'll remind us of the rules about debate and discussion then, but there will be an opportunity, hopefully I do see Troy's here, to be able to maybe abbreviated version of what he might be prepared to say. Any other announcements, et cetera? Can I amend those agendas early, folks? Okay, moving on, no special motions. You can check that one off. And this brings us to committee reports.